World Rhino Day has, and I mean this with all the love in the world, the ugliest drawings of rhinos I have ever seen if you click on that link.
Oh my god. Yeah, these are rough as hell.
They do not fill me with a love. They have a Spotify playlist?
I am trying to think of one rhino song and I can't.
I'm reading all of these rhino songs. I've never heard of any of these songs.
The Lone Rhinoceros, Rhinos. Yeah, I've never heard of these, and so many of them are just called Rhinoceros, which I do love.
Crazy. One of them's called This Old Heart.
This Old Heart, yes. That one really stands out.
Ghosts in the Sun. But this is not a rhinoceros podcast. We need to talk about the elephant in the room. The rhinoceros.
The rhinoceros in the room.
My apologies. Charlie Sheen is the lead voice actor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's very noticeable as soon as it happens that it's not Burt Reynolds.
It's explicitly Charlie Sheen. And I'll be honest, he might have been my first casting choice. As somebody who doesn't know Burt Reynolds stuff as much as I know Charlie Sheen stuff, I think to myself, who could play a weird asshole dog? Like, you're supposed to kind of like him, but you know he's an asshole the whole time? Oh, Charlie Sheen!
Yeah.
His name's Charlie.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Now, to be fair, this movie came out, what, 8 years after the first one? 7 years after the first one? I don't know what Charlie Sheen was doing at the time, but he probably would have done it. And this does, of course, you know, lead us to the modern day Charlie Sheen, who seems to have ruined his life.
Has he? Again? All right.
Well, not again. I just, you know, I don't think very few. There are very few people, I think, who have like so thoroughly ruined a perfectly good career.
When I was in high school, he crashed and burned in such a spectacular way. It was like an episode of BoJack. It was like a season of BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
And I just sort of figured that at some point he probably did go to rehab and get an FX show and was like, you know, probably doing borderline okay. But I don't know. I remember I Don't Sleep, I Just Wait.
Yeah, winning, Tiger Blood.
Tiger Blood, yes. But that was literally one cocaine-fueled interview. And maybe that's just what does it. Maybe he just gets his checks for all the old movies he was in. It's just like, well, I'm not doing anything else now.
Yeah.
Maybe he cashes his All Dogs Go to Heaven 2 check, a movie which I watched on Tubi and did not have any commercials.
No, not a single ad. Hold on, actually. I don't know if you saw this. I was so astounded by this. Because Tubi has decided to go the way of Netflix, which is that they do their own custom DVD art.
Yes!
And it's horrifying.
Why does he look so bad? It's the only... There are three All Dog Go to Heaven movies on
Fuck
Tubi.
You. What? Three? What's the third one?
Okay, so... Jamie said you mentioned this last podcast, and I did not remember it. It's All Dogs Go to Heaven, The Christmas Carol.
Oh.
All Dogs Christmas Carol.
Okay.
And All Dogs Christmas Carol. That is also on here. They all have the same thing, which is a very close-up shot of one of the dogs. For some reason, just this one of Itchy looks nasty as shit. Itchy looks gross.
He looks like Littlefoot or like a fucking like Land Before Time dinosaur.
He's so rankly. He's a character with a perfectly good character design. Not awesome, but like better than this. Okay. Welcome to Direct-to-Video.
VHS.
A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. It is... At this moment, September 22nd, so we're really stretching the idea of the Dog Days of Summer into fall. I believe it is the day of the equinox.
Yeah, today, which means we just got it in there at the time of recording. Obviously, when the episode comes out, it'll be fall. That's nobody's fault but mine.
Just send me your half right now, and I'll just, like, edit this so fast.
Just, yeah,
I'm definitely not being sarcastic.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I have a day job. I have two day jobs.
Yeah. I also have a pretty strenuous work-life balance.
Yeah.
I don't like this movie.
Good start.
Got to get it out of the way. I like this movie more than the first one, but I don't think it deserves that.
Honest to God, such a gulf. Like, yes, this movie has worse animation, but this movie has a coherent story. There was no point in this movie that I was like, that's racist. That can't be there.
There was one point in this movie where I was like, that's you're skirting the line of racism.
I must have missed it, honest to God. But there were bits about this movie that I hated, but most of this movie was fine. I'll go this far. Push comes to shove, I might show this to a child. Not before any other movie, really.
But it's truly, like, near the bottom of the list, but it is on the list, right?
But, like, above Wolf Quest, like...
I don't know about that. They talk about dying so much in this movie, it's a little surreal.
Oh my God, they do. I don't know who thought it was funny to introduce all the dead dogs coming up into heaven with all the fun ways they died. What the fuck? I found out that Itchy died before his time by choking on a chicken bone.
Yeah.
That little girl is alone.
It's so it's crazy, right? It's, you would think that, I guess this would also be really sad, would be to just have an old dog, right? An old wiener dog crawling into heaven and be like, Charlie, is that you? But then heaven makes him younger.
I mean, that would, that's literally the best case scenario. That's exactly what I want. He was like, oh, I just went to sleep one day. You know? Yeah, that's sad. That is the, again, best case scenario. And kids will have to deal with that. What I don't want a kid to have to deal with is watching their dog choke to death on a chicken bone.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, Charlie seems to have not learned a single goddamn thing from the last movie. Which is kind of fair, because I believe that both of us were like, surely he didn't learn anything, right?
True.
Also, bananas.
Let me mention another character who also didn't learn anything, but I want to mention him because he's the first character we see.
Oh, that's right. He gets a stinger intro, like it's a fucking Columbo episode.
I would have loved that movie.
That movie
just a full
great
30 minutes of Carface getting up to whatever, and then Charlie shows up like, one more thing, Carface.
Cow. Oh, man. That would have been great. Well, Itchy would be Columbo, right?
Itchy? Because he's the only one who can do his goddamn job, because he in every scene is the most reasonable character. Yes, he's fucking Columbo. Charlie's the local guy that Columbo has to, like, take this case off his hands.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say, though, is Carface has been watered down and vanillaed so much, he's essentially got to.
Yeah.
We watched 3 Lilo and Stitch movies. Fuck, we watched 4 Lilo and Stitch movies.
That's correct.
And the 3 that got to were in, I don't think he was in Lilo and Stitch 2. The 3 that got to were in the first one, he's like, I'm the bad guy, I'm gonna kill you. And then the second one, he's like, okay, little bunny hamster, let me listen to you about stuff. And then the third one, they're like, he doesn't even qualify as a villain anymore. That feels like what's happening to Carface.
It really does. And I'm looking at this third movie. Fuck you, there was a TV show? Sorry. All Dogs Go to Heaven wiki is giving me cursed knowledge.
Yeah, that's no good.
But he's on the cover holding gifts and stuff, which is bananas because he gets Drag Me to Hell at the end of this movie.
So spoilers. Funny.
It's so good.
Funny. That was so funny. I didn't get the joke at first.
I immediately was like, this is truly such a good idea.
I was watching it with Jamie and she let out a little chuckle like, and I was just watching. And then when the demon yells soul, I burst into laughter because it was so funny to me because I missed it. Wonderful. Anyway, we'll get to it. It's so good. What an amazing ending. The beginning, though. So yeah, Carface gets a stinger. He's talking to somebody on a payphone, a heavenly payphone, I guess.
Yeah, he's in heaven.
Not be in heaven at this point. So where's this payphone? You can just call hell from heaven? Okay. And we find out that, like, Charlie and Carface have been just hanging out in heaven because Charlie doesn't have his real friends there and Carface is kind of the closest thing he's got. Yeah. Which I did kind of like. Carface low-key betrays him by being a very, very good at being an angel.
Which we don't get into.
No, I assume that he's been able to con people in a way Charlie hasn't. It's not important. He just says to Charlie, you gotta play the game, Charlie. Charlie doesn't even want to try because he thinks all this stuff is boring. But Carface wants to try because he's planning on betraying everybody and, I don't know, killing them? It's unclear what Carface wants.
I'm gonna say this. It's unclear what the villain wants. I don't think I ever truly understood what the plan was.
Demons do not need motivation, untrue. Is I think what I'll say. No, I mean
no.
I mean, Andy, it's in my mind the main flaw of the idea of the devil.
No.
Why the hell does he want to corrupt humans? Humans are so corruptible. That's so stupid. And I have the same problem with this guy, which is like, he's just a demon. He's just the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the guy in the Muppets. I'm the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy. It feels like such a convoluted plan.
Okay, I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to capture all the holy dogs, put them in Alcatraz, and sink Alcatraz into hell. That's what it appears to be. I don't know why.
But then it's like, to what? No, I got that part, Tony. That happens in the movie.
I'm just saying it for the listener, Andy. Nobody else has watched this movie except Jamie, who had never seen the first one and was really confused when we talked about it because she thought she had. And she was like, where's the demon?
I was watching it and May was on their phone and the movie was so bad that they ended up getting up and going to like make some food.
Coward.
They were like, I don't need this in my life. And I was like, you know, that's fair, but I am going to bring this with me, unfortunately. So, all right, you cannot escape this.
There have been movies where it's definitely like, well, I guess I'm stuck watching this one alone.
Yeah. I mean, here's what brings me solace every time I turn one of these on is, well, at least I know Tony's seen it.
Yep.
It brings me a little bit of solace knowing that you have seen this too.
I sure have.
So, you know, that's something. So we have the probably one of the saddest intros ever, which is that, you know, we get to see all of these dogs go to heaven.
Yep.
One of them, it comes in holding a bumper, which is a very funny joke, if it wasn't so morbid.
This was my issue. Like, one of them had, like, the mailbag from the mailman, and I was like, there's a story there, but also, it's a sad story. It can't be funny. Like, it's not being funny. I think they kind of want it to be, like, Looney Tunes, and it's not hitting as Looney Tunes. This is too real a world, I guess, for that to... You have to actually deal with life and death in this story.
Yeah, because this is, like, a world that's, like, just... It's just our world, but dogs have burlesques and stuff. Charlie shows Itchy around heaven, and Itchy's like, this kicks ass.
Itchy is like, this kicks ass. Meanwhile, Charlie sings a song about how it's too heavenly here. He can't rip anybody off. It's kind of boring. Says, it sucks.
I wrote this down because it's such a good lyric. What's a good hustler? What good's a hustler without a scam? I'm wasted talent. That's what I am.
I begrudgingly accept that this song works. The music in this movie is like mid-tier. It's like not terrible.
It's fine to good.
It borders on good. Like, this song is a good song to start this movie off. It tells me everything I need to know about Charlie and about heaven and about his time on Earth. I feel like I get everything. It makes me remember the terrible music in Peter Pan 2.
Oh, yeah.
Altogether, in every other way, a better movie than Peter Pan 1, except like some of the worst music I've ever heard.
A quick fun fact here, because when Charlie starts singing, I was like, all right, this can't be Charlie Sheen. They had to have gotten someone else. This is too good. So I looked it up, and this is a guy named by the name of Jesse Cordy, who we did have. He is a prior,
because he was
the voice of LeFou in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
The acting and singing voice of LeFou.
Interesting.
I know.
That's actually some interesting range, too. I wouldn't have expected LeFou to have this kind of singing voice.
Yeah, it's what I would say, it's like a sexy dad singing voice. It's very odd. For a moment, I thought it was like the guy who voiced Eric. It's got that same, like, you know, tone to it.
It wasn't quite buttery enough to be Jim Cummings. I can tell when Jim Cummings sings now because somebody told me that he sings only the second half of Be Prepared. Jeremy Irons burned his voice out on it.
Yeah, like,
and you
totally
can tell that the
out.
Second half of Be Prepared is like so smooth and buttery.
Yeah, it doesn't have the like husk.
I have a question. I guess I have two questions. The first one, and this is important because it might, if you are willing to be kind of film theory about it, point to something that the villain would actually care about and want. Because this was what I first thought of when I saw that trumpet that Carface goes to steal. Is that the final trumpet that sounds for the apocalypse?
I believe so. That was also my thought.
Gabriel's horn. Now, I don't know shit about who blows what horn, and if they threw Gabriel in there because Gabriel's an important name, fucking wild to use an actual Catholic angel. But
it is
whatever.
Crazy.
Here we are. Is that the final trumpet that sounds through the apocalypse? Does this demon want to capture all the dogs and then start the apocalypse so that it wins the holy war? I don't know.
Yeah.
Follow up, smaller question. Why does Dog Heaven even have gates? Everybody gets
this
in.
This is true. It should have a dog door, first of all. While we're here.
Yeah.
Second of all, yeah, no one's getting told no.
Right. Fucking Carface is here, and I was pretty certain that he was gonna go to hell at the end of the last movie.
And even at the end of this movie, he is an extenuating circumstance. He got to heaven and then he left.
Yeah, he sold his soul to a demon. You imagine that if he hadn't sold his soul to a demon, he probably would go back to heaven.
Yeah, right? Because he's, you know...
They would just keep a closer eye on him, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Itchy's love in heaven. We find out that fleas go to hell. That's explicit.
That's hilarious. I like
that's
that.
Genuinely really funny.
Yeah, Itchy's like, I don't feel itchy for the first time. Charlie's like, well, fleas go to the other place.
Yeah, fleas, which is, again, such a good joke.
Yeah.
And so the driving impetus of this movie is that Carface is stealing Gabriel's horn. He fucks it up because he gets hit by a plane, I think.
He flies, he gets sucked into the engine like the
goose from Sully.
Like the goose from Sully. That plane had to land in the Hudson River. And here's the thing, he is immaterial at this point, but the horn's not, so it might have fucked up that plane.
Yeah, no, there's a real world. I mean, and this is like, you know, 96, right? So it's the Wild West out there in terms of airline travel. There's probably people smoking in that flight.
It's the Wild West up there.
So he mucks it up and decides to not go. And then Heaven finds out. Heaven finds out that the horn is missing.
Important. Heaven does not find out that Carface stole the horn. They didn't even clock that he's gone. They just know the horn's not there.
Proving that either God is not omniscient or he's a little freak who just lets this shit happen. I'm willing to accept that both are true.
Well, see, this whole thing was a plan to save that child. This is how these movies work.
Oh, God. That's fair. So, oh, God. So, as soon as Charlie finds out that somebody's got to go back to Earth to pick up this horn, he's like, hell yeah. Yes.
Heaven, me. Yeah.
Heaven. Sorry. Correct. Heaven. Yeah. I believe they do make that joke in the movie.
I think they do.
I'll go. I'll do it. I'll volunteer. And the head Heaven dog, whose name escapes me.
Annabelle?
Annabelle?
Perhaps.
She's like, fine. I'll give you one miracle. And also you have to take Itchy with you because he's your conscience.
Poor Itchy. He got to hell 15 minutes ago.
He got to hell 15 hell, minutes hell. Ago.
He got to heaven 15 minutes ago. He is loving it. It rocks up here.
He didn't even get to enjoy rib night.
He just wants his eternal reward.
He's lived a hard life.
For being such a good dog. Unlike Charlie, he's a good dog.
Yeah, Itchy went above and beyond the call of duty in the last movie. And in this movie, it really feels like a real fuck you to Itchy when she's like, and you have to take him with you.
And you're taking Itchy with you, yeah. So he's just also thrown down this parole. He's like, hey, wait a second. He doesn't even get a miracle. I'm so mad about it.
Yeah, right? Itchy,
this movie seems to not realize that they have essentially made Itchy the main character the whole fucking time, except he doesn't get any protagonist stuff.
So he's playing on hard mode.
He's like, if you're playing an RPG, is like, technically you have your main character, but like this side character's like better, and you're just like, oh, this guy's killing all the baddies. That's what Itchy's doing the whole time. Itchy gets everything done while Charlie gets distracted by the dumbest shit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think you mean by the hottest dog, the sexiest dog.
One of my notes is that I want them to stop overselling me on how sexy this dog is.
It goes on for a while. She gets a singing number. Good song. I like the song. It's a good song. It doesn't really have anything to do with dogs, but
I actually find that so interesting that her song is like a normal cabaret song.
Yeah.
That does not make reference to the fact that she is a dog. Have you seen Great Mouse Detective?
Yes.
Have you seen it recently?
No, I have not seen Great Mouse Detective since I was like a child.
Okay, so you probably don't remember this. There is the wildest scene in Great Mouse Detective where this whole ass scene happens. But there are two differences. One, there is an anthropomorphic mouse there that is like crazy hot, like Lola Rabbit level, like they were trying to make a hot mouse. And two, she's not a character.
Interesting.
They just did that scene. And it wasn't the introduction for, I don't know, the Watson character's love interest or something. She's just there, and then they walk into another scene. But she gets the whole song. She gets, I think, one of two songs in the movie, the other one being Radigan's song, which is solid.
Man, I need to watch this movie again.
It's so strange. We should pair it with something. We could do it. There's also a joke that I wanted to point out in this movie that was so funny. This movie has jokes that land way better than a lot of bad movie jokes that I've seen. There's this crooner who was kind of whiffing it, and they eventually drag him off, and there's like the classic slow one person clapping, like, and it pans around the scene, and it turns out that, like, one chihuahua in the corner is trying to get a fly.
Yeah. Did you actually, sorry, did you hear the song that the first, when we enter this like underground club, did you hear the song that the other dog was singing?
I don't think, I mean, I didn't clock it enough to make a note of it.
I only bring it up because he does have a lyric where he says that he's fallen hard for an Afghan heiress, which I don't understand why these jokes are in this movie. But it really, like, clocked me. I was like, whoa, why are we talking about this?
Whoa, what?
What?
So, yeah, so this dog who has this whole thing, she's so 90s kids femme fatale, you know? She's essentially Jessica Rabbit.
Yes.
Where she sings a song about how people are always all over her and she literally doesn't want them to be. And while that's happening, Charlie is getting so horny for her. By the by, this is also the scene where we find out that since he's an angel, Charlie cannot...
Oh, right. They're ghosts. They are ghosts.
Yes. Cannot interact with the world. And he's like, that's such a dirty trick. And I was like, you just didn't know the rules, Charlie.
Yeah, you got it.
She is okay with this because he just wants to find the stupid horn and leave.
He wants to go back to heaven.
And he's Charlie's like, I want a root beer, which you cannot tell me they don't have in heaven. I want a root beer and I want to gamble.
At one point, he's like, I want a burger. And it's like, they have a fucking rib night, dude. You're telling me they don't have burgers in heaven?
They have burgers in heaven. Here's the thing, Charlie. I don't fucking believe that you can't get the nastiest fucking burger in heaven. There's one thing. Maybe they don't have gambling. Because like he says, everybody's a winner. And you know what? I get that, Charlie. But eat a burger.
You can eat a burger. You can eat a burger. You can drink a root beer. God isn't anti-alcohol. You could have a real beer.
He gets super, super horny for this dog, and it sucks, and I hated it the whole time.
It's the rest of the movie, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it truly, like, culminates in the worst way possible.
Then they see Carface. Carface is just lounging around smoking a cigar, interacting with people, and Charlie's like, Carface, what the fuck?
You've got to get me in on this grift.
Fucking no red flags here. It's just like, Charlie, this is all red flags. And Charlie's like, no, I need to have a physical body.
So that I can bone down. I'm ready to go to Bone Town. And then she's like, Charlie, they have bones in heaven. Also, I guess this movie forgot or maybe just kind of glossed over the fact that Charlie and, like, head lady in heaven had a thing in the last
They had a thing. It appears she got over it.
And also, Charlie had another girlfriend in that movie who was taking care of the orphanage.
Yeah. And she's not dead yet because she hasn't eaten any fucking chicken bones. She's doing her job. But it feels weird that she's not important to this plot at all. But this is such a classic sequel thing anyway, to forget any romantic entanglements and introduce a new romantic entanglement, that it's just white noise at this point.
Yeah.
Carface brings them to this old fortune-telling dog who is clearly wearing a big rubber mask. He gives Charlie this collar, and Carface forces a collar on Itchy, and they give them a physical body. I don't think they make them mortal exactly.
No, but it just lets them interact with the real world for 48 hours.
24 hours. Such a small amount of time.
24 hours. That's even less time.
Yeah. And Charlie is into this. Itchy isn't. But they run off. And then it turns out, boom, guy rips his rubber mask off. He is... Okay. I hate cat versus dog stuff.
It's the worst. It's the least original. Also, it's not a good movie.
You mean the one?
The one with Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. But yeah, this is the thing, is it's been done in a million other movies. The only things that I've ever at all really cared for is, like, you know, it was kind of interesting in Fievel Goes West when, like, the cats aren't versus the dogs. The cats are trying to eat all the mice. but so little stuff does it even hold up to that extent. And it's like, we never meet a cat in this movie. We never met a cat in the last movie. There is absolutely no indication of, like, what cats are like, why a cat would want to curse dogs, and why this quote-unquote cat is 7 feet tall and clearly some kind of fucking mountain lion. They keep calling it a cat. It looks like a wolf.
at one point, the kid in this movie, the Foppet, refers to the cat as mangy, and it's like, listen, this cat is immaculately groomed. First of all, it is not mangy. Yeah. Second of all, it is massive. It's so huge. I think the thing about this that really gets to me is in American Tail, right? It's like the cat is like the big evil. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is makes sense because, like, cats predate on mice. And, right. You know, however you feel about cats, they're adorable creatures. They are exceptionally cruel hunters.
I mean, it's their hunting instinct is just like, something's moving, I need to play with it. Like, yeah. A bigger cat probably has more of a, I just need to kill this thing as fast as I can.
Yes.
But house cats are like, I'm going to play with this until it stops moving, and then maybe once it stops moving, I'll eat it. Or maybe I won't, because I'm not that hungry.
Yeah. It's tough, because, like, dogs are not weaker than cats on the whole. Dogs tend to be the more dangerous animal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it feels very, like, arbitrary. Especially because I like the, like, old, nasty dog. I liked the idea of there being this old dog that's never died. That's like, I know if I die, I'm not going to heaven.
I would have totally accepted a dog demon. The dog demon in the last movie was fucking cool.
Looks that sick guy as shit.
Was crazy.
He's only in the movie for like 2 seconds.
You brought up the idea that this was the first dog demon that was created because Charlie was going to go to hell. The idea,
and they needed it. They needed to make dog hell.
The idea that there is a dog ruling over dog hell and there's fucking nobody there. Not even Carface got in. And he's like, I'm bringing everybody in a car to dog hell. That's a movie.
I believe we have just rewritten Reaper Man. We've just reinvented Reaper Man.
Not exactly. There's no hell in Reaper Man, but yeah,
I believe the big thing that happens in that movie is that the new death, it goes a little crazy with it, right?
New death wants to, like, is like, I am better than humans. I kill. And death is like, I don't fucking kill. What the hell is your problem?
Whoa, dude.
He wears a crown. He's like, I rule over them. And Death is like, nah.
Nah.
Terry Pratchett had a big issue with crowns.
Yeah, Terry Pratchett's weirdly obsessed with the idea of, like, monarchism.
Kind of weird for a guy who was eventually knighted, but there we are.
I mean, what was he going to do? Say no? I wouldn't say no.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't say no either. You have to kneel in front of the fucking queen, though.
You get a sword.
Sword. I think so, yeah. I think they give you the sword.
That's awesome. That's
cool. Yeah. Plus, people refer to you as sir, even in, like, American newspapers.
Right? I thought we were over it, but no. I would be like, here's the thing is.
Yeah.
I don't think there is anybody who is knighted that I respect enough that if they said, hey, it's Sir Patrick Stewart, I'd be like, not here, it's just Patrick Stewart, my friend.
I feel like Patrick Stewart is the knight who is least likely to pull that shit.
Oh, you know, that's true. He's chilled out.
Which might be why I might call him that.
Because you know he wouldn't ask. Oh, what a power move.
I know.
Damn.
That guy is so
zoned all the time. It's crazy. I mean, he does a lot of weed. It's truly bananas. He loves it.
Where the hell were we?
We're stalking the dog.
We're talking about the demon and this demon sucks. It's like they thought, oh, let's make the demon a cat, and then did not think about it at all beyond that. The cat hates dogs, and I don't know why.
If they should have made it a lion, just a bit, just a lion. Although that would have made them ripping off Scar's musical outro a little bit too much.
If they made him a lion, they would have gotten so sued.
They would have gotten pretty sued, yeah.
This cat is already like 78% Scar.
Yeah, voiced by the way, the I believe it's just called Red, according to IMDb. I'll believe it. Voiced by George Hearn, who I don't know, but some people might know because he was the Sweeney Todd in the one of the concert versions of Sweeney Todd.
Oh.
And also Daddy Warbucks.
I mean, he can sing, so this is I was going to say Broadway, but obviously not Broadway, West End actor.
Yeah. Yeah, my guy is out here like being just an evil person. Great, kicks ass, good for him. He's got the voice. That I didn't like the villain song. I don't think it's very good.
Mm-mm.
But like he's going for it, and that's
he's
awesome.
Selling it though. So Charlie continues to be the worst. Let's talk about it. He does stalk this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he goes back to the thing, and she's like, turns out they were literally singing for food. And so, but they're not going to give it to her, so she steals some more d'oeuvres.
Yeah, they like shaft her a paycheck.
Yeah, and then like she's like forced to leave behind, so he takes it to her. It was at around this point, like maybe a minute before this point, that I wrote down we're about halfway through the movie, and I still haven't seen the kid. And then we see the kid.
Yeah, she tells Charlie, "I have a kid." Charlie's like, "I'm good with kids."
I said out loud, "No, you're not."
Continue. No, you're not. We watched an entire movie of you being the worst to child. I guess you gave all those puppies a cake and a pizza.
He thinks giving a kid a pizza is the same thing as being good with kids.
Yeah, as being a present and loving father.
Yeah.
So,
yikes, Big Bird.
we find out, I know, we find out that she's got a human kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie doesn't get into this. Because at first, I was like, okay, so she's been taking care of this kid since this kid was like a baby. Not so.
Yeah. He ran away, like possibly
a couple days ago.
As little as a day ago, because his parents are just telling the cops about it. And she, like, found him, and she's, like, I forget her name.
You know, that,
They don't say it a lot.
Sasha LaFleur.
Terrible. But Sasha is just about, she's kind of got that heart of gold thing. She's, like, the nicest dog in the movie, if we are ignoring Itchy, which the movie tends to do. she sees this kid as immediately, like, I guess I'm gonna get food for this kid, he's lost. Yeah, so it's been like maybe a day or two that he has run away. And this is when we find out that because Itchy and Charlie are angels, they can talk to humans. Huge.
Yes.
That is a buddy cop TV show already. I don't know why we're not watching it now. And Charlie uses his miracle to allow Sasha to talk to the kid too. I also don't remember the kid's name, but okay.
In the worst possible way. Because,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he assaults her.
He kisses her full on super hard on the mouth. And she is offended by it in a way that's like clearly she did not want this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is glossed over the fact that that's, hey, guys, the definition of assault.
Because the movie knows that at the end of this movie, they're going to date. So, like, who cares?
I'm going to say this now. I'm sure I'll say it again. The most unearned pairing maybe ever in a movie. I don't know why she likes him by the time she starts to like him. I didn't see that built up.
It's
crazy. He still sucks.
Well, and also, like, while we're here, this kid, this fucking kid, whose name, who I had the tab open and then I closed it.
Yeah. He's referred to as a kid or the kid in all of my notes.
Yeah, I think I just call him, like, that the shit kid or, you know, stuff like that.
He's a little magician. He sucks, but he sucks in a pretty reasonable, I'm 8 years old way. He's a selfish idiot. But, like, yeah, he's eight.
David?
Sure.
I don't know. I think it's David. I'm going to go with David. So this fucking kid, this dog has been she's been taking care of this kid for maybe a day, maybe a week, who knows?
Maybe 3 years, probably not 3 years.
Some indeterminate amount of time. As soon as Charlie shows up, this kid's like, well, you know, this other dog can fuck off and die. Charlie's my hero. Charlie saved my life.
To be fair, Charlie does claim to be his guardian angel. And there's sort of an immediate like, oh, I guess I trust you and love you forever then. But like, yeah, to the point where it feels like he's ignoring his dog who chose him and fed him.
Has been taking care of him. And then we find out what this kid's deal is.
Yeah.
Which is that he's got a stepmom. That's kind of the whole thing, is he's mad about that.
She is having a baby and he's got abandonment issues, which.
Yeah, I would hate to know what it. Could you imagine what it would feel like if you were showing all of your love and affection towards one person and then all of a sudden somebody new came along and you were like, well, they're just going to get 100% of my love and affection now. Wouldn't that be wild? Wouldn't it be crazy if you did that?
You're dumping a lot. You're dumping a lot on this kid. He's literally a kid.
He's like 8 years old, apparently. Yeah. But like still, it's just, you know, problem isn't with the kid. The problem is the writing, right? But it unfortunately manifests in this little piece of shit kid.
It does manifest in this piece of shit kid. The kid's a piece of shit. There is one. Here's one thing I will say.
Mm-hmm.
In defense of this kid.
Yeah, of course.
Which is, Itchy is the fucking only one here who knows how to play with a kid.
Oh my god, it's true.
Do you think he's playing with this kid for his entertainment? No, he is keeping this kid safe and happy. And meanwhile, Sasha and Charlie are like flirting or arguing or what the fuck ever. And this kid might as well be a bandit. Except that Itchy, who did not want to do this... is ride or die on this kid.
Now, this is crazy for two reasons. One, it shows a lot of growth on Itchy's part, because in the last movie, Itchy was not about it. But he has now spent his whole life, because he's dead now, playing with a kid, and so he's good at it.
He's great at it. This kid is not freaking out as long as Itchy is taking care of him, and that's huge.
So
he later gets him a full-ass, like... this four person this Chinese.
This feels a little bit like, again, we're doing Sasha a little bit dirty. Sasha's been getting this kid table scraps on his first day back. And she's like, I got you a full Chinese meal with chopsticks.
Jamie was like, where did he get that? And I was like, he knocked out a Chinese restaurant. I don't know.
He's working miracles and he didn't even get one.
He didn't even get the miracle. He's a miracle in himself.
So the kid wants to be a magician. He wants to do street magic. Charlie's like, then let's fucking do it. Let's go right now. Let's do some street magic.
So it's clear to me, but it's not clear to Sasha, that Charlie is doing a kind of interesting con, which is sort of the, people don't do this anymore, but giving a kid a pack of cigarettes to smoke so that they hate cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, you want to be a street magician, huh? Okay.
Let's do
some street magic. This is going to be so easy. Any magician makes a bunch of money off the street. It's going to be so easy for you to do this. He's gonna break this kid's heart.
It's rough. So, wait, are we skipping the cop stuff?
Let's get to the cop stuff. So they're walking down the street and they hear the ringing. Only angels can hear the ringing. That the horn makes. By the by, Gabriel, Carface can't get the horn back because he has sold his soul to Red. So he's not an angel anymore. So they can hear the ringing and they realize like, oh, a police officer is taking it into
the police station.
The police station, excuse me. So Charlie's like, he tries to send Itchy to look for it. Itchy's like, nah, this is your job. I'll stay with Sasha. He says, I'll stay with Sasha, when what he definitely means is, I'll stay here with this kid.
Well, because Charlie's the one who's like, well, I'll stay here with Sasha and Itchy can go get it.
And Itchy's like, no, I'll stay with Sasha. You go do your fucking job, idiot.
If I leave you here with Sasha, this kid's gonna get hit by a fucking car.
Yes. He, like, is literally, like, we cut back to him at one point, and he's kind of, like, rolled over in the kid's lap, letting him pet his belly. Like, he's distracting this kid, so everything's okay.
And meanwhile, Sasha's grilling him, like, what the fuck are you guys actually doing?
And he's like, man, I'm literally from heaven. Get off my ass about it.
Which is a pretty... It's a pretty good point.
The thing is, when she asks Charlie what they're doing, he'll just fucking spill. Because he's an idiot. And Itchy's like...
He's horned up!
And Itchy's like, nah, man. There are rules, I assume. I did not stay long enough to learn the rules, but I'm not getting kicked out of heaven for telling you about Gabriel's horn.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm not doing that.
In the there's like police antics in the police station. There is a great line when Charlie's sneaking through where this guy is just like he's like reading off conspiracy theories, and one of the other cops is like, this is why everyone hates to ride in the car with you, and his response is just, that's not why. And I was like, why then?
Yeah, why?
I'm fascinated. Why did this, why is this the most intriguing character in the movie?
Yeah, it's wild. We also get David's parents just in there.
Yeah.
Telling this police officer, our son ran away. We think it's because we're having another kid.
And he freaked out about it,
which, listen, I get it. I remember when my younger brother was announced, I was pissed. I was like, what are we doing? We have everything we need right here. What do we need another one for? But I wasn't like so mad that I was like, I'm ready to give up my PlayStation. I didn't have a PlayStation. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, I'm not going to give up my luxuries.
I literally did have a moment where I was like, how does this kid have all this magic stuff? He can't be buying more. He produces a dove at one point. And I'm like, where did he get the dove?
He caught the dove like 2 days ago.
Like out on the street. That's he's like, so I'll either hungry. Eat this dove or use it on my magic show.
Yeah, one of the two.
So Charlie goes to get the horn, but it turns out the horn is not ethereal, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, the horn is a physical object.
It cannot go through the gate that all the stuff is locked behind, even though Charlie can. So they have a plan, which is not a plan.
This is truly the stupidest plan, because one, the horn, when you blow on it, opens any door.
All right, so here's the thing. The thing to do would be to wait until later in the day when there are fewer people in there, yeah. Go in as a ghost, blow the horn, unlock the door, sneak out. That's the plan.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Instead, this child puts on these sunglasses like he's blind and has three separate guard dogs, not one of which I think is a normal breed or for a seeing eye dog. Maybe Charlie would be a German Shepherd.
I think there are seeing eye wiener dogs.
I'm just looking up seeing eye dog breeds because this is an interesting tangent to go down.
Yeah. Like, I don't. Golden Retriever is one. Goldadors, any sort of like Labrador Golden Retriever mix. So yeah, Charlie would probably be worth it. Would probably be able to be trained.
Charlie and maybe Sasha, because I think she's a poodle.
Oh, apparently smaller dogs are not suited for it because of how they are bred, and also because they may not be big enough to carry to do the weight of the harness.
Oh, interesting.
They have to be able to pull you. Like away from stuff. That's cool. So yeah, Charlie and Sasha could each be one, but not both.
But yeah, it would be weird to have three guide dogs for anyone. That's so weird. And so this like 8-year-old is walking in clearly in the dumbest disguise you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And immediately a police dog starts barking at all of his dogs and they break. This was the plan, I guess, just to get past this one door.
And as soon as they're in there,
they just start charging around. They yell that there are donuts in the other room, which is the honestly weakest joke in the movie. Maybe it's not even that it's bad. It's just like there was no second draft for this joke, which gets almost everyone out. That's the joke. And they end up stealing these keys and like throwing it to each other. Again, the horn opens doors. So what are we doing?
What are we doing? This kid's doing magic tricks to the cops.
Now that's good.
And I do.
I love a magician handcuffing some cops.
I do. It's one of the best scenes in The Prestige is when he handcuffs the guard to a desk. It's great.
And they steal the horn, but the woman who was talking to Charlie's parents recognizes Charlie and is calling him. Hey, Charlie, running after Charlie.
David.
I don't remember the kid's fucking name. Charlie's like, we gotta get away, gets on a scooter, puts on the helmet, and Sasha grabs the helmet from him and puts it on David. Good move.
Great bit. Love that. Carface is also here.
Honestly, I went through most of the movie thinking we weren't going to see a skateboard.
Okay, I was going to ask you about this because at around this time, I was like, damn, I'm really thirsty. I'm just not going to pause the movie and I'm going to go get myself a drink.
Did you miss Carface sketching?
And I missed the skateboard because when I came back, I was like, okay, I guess there's no skateboard in this movie. That fucking
skateboard,
sucks.
Skateboard, nothing. He gets on the skateboard and grabs onto the cop car. He's doing a Marty McFly.
Yeah, by the time I got back, he was on top of the cop car. So I was going to ask you.
He's skating behind the car while Itchy's like on top of it because he was flung off. Of the moped because nobody fucking cares about Itchy, despite the fact that he works harder than fucking anyone.
Also, it's a little weird. They consistently forget that they should draw the collar on Itchy. He wears a V-neck shirt. It can't be covering that collar.
Yeah, they really do play fast and loose with it. Which, to be fair, the Carface of all the characters, the most off-model. He is.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he shrinks sometimes. Like they make him even shorter, which is a little rude.
I cannot believe you missed Carface sketching. That's so funny.
I missed it. And so at the end of the movie, I was like, I don't think there was a fucking skateboard in this whole movie. And I'm pretty mad about it. But then I thought about it and I was like, well, I might have missed it because I did get up for like a solid 3 minutes to go like grab some tea.
For the one moment when a skateboard might have appeared.
Might have shown up, but I was checked out a little bit
I understand not being fully locked in on this movie. It's just funny that that's the bit you missed.
the crash the cop into a fire hydrant, which is crazy. I do love it when the cops just get to be like buffoons. Now, when she does this, she says "ay naranja," which is I don't believe I know what it is. It's a "oh my orange," because I assume they knew that they couldn't get away with an "ay caramba" here because she's Officer Reyes, by the way, in case you didn't know. My cousin, I assume, or aunt, I don't know. But I was like, I heard that, and I was like, come on, guys, this isn't being clever. We could have not. She could have just been like, you know, kid dogs, curse you dogs. I'm trying to remember what movie this was because it's like not in my brain. If I were the cop, would I believe that these dogs have kidnapped this?
You mean you mean like in God, the Hillbilly Bears.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I cannot remember the name of that movie.
Country
but
Bears.
You know,
the Country Bears.
Country Bears. You're like in Country Bears.
Yes.
The fact that nobody comments on the fact that the dog is driving this moped.
That's what I'm saying. Is clearly the dogs are kidnapping this kid. They're in on it. We gotta get an APB on these dogs.
There is never any follow-up about like the fact that this kid terrorized a police station with three dogs.
That's true. And also, Charlie was in prison.
He was on death row.
He was in human prison, right? He was going to be killed.
Well, okay, wait. But that was in Louisiana.
You're gonna
have to do some tracing to figure out that this was the same dog.
There is a truly amazing movie here where this cop looks into this dog and is like, this dog had a gambling den. This dog went to prison for murder. Maybe. I don't actually think we ever find out why he went to prison.
And they would, like, look at it and be like, this was 15 years ago. This can't be the same dog.
This can't be the same dog, but he's kidnapped this kid. We have to do something. And then the conspiracy theory cop is, like, in on it. He's like, yes, no, I know what it is. These dogs went to heaven.
So funny to introduce a conspiracy theory cop and then not have him think that something was weird about this.
Right? It's just a lot. Nothing comes of this. We never see any of these characters again, except for the kid, the parents, obviously.
The whole scene, and I understand, listener, why Andy won't pick up on this. The whole scene was just to set up Carface sketching, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
I think, like, because, like, it's the 90s. There's a skateboard. We gotta figure out how to do a skateboard scene.
Yeah, you're right. It's 96. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater is, like, around the corner.
Because they had to figure out some bullshit reason for Carface to be in this scene. You didn't need to be in this scene.
because he's there because Red tells him, I need you to keep an eye on this guy because I think he's going to shaft me. But, and, like, it's like, we know he's going to shaft you. He's fucking Charlie Barkin, dude. Like, that's his job.
Charlie, by the way, I feel like this is important. He doesn't. He does not try to trick Red. And that sucks, because it's like the one thing about Charlie is he's a con artist. And if he could use being a con artist to be at some point a little bit redeemable, that would almost be a movie.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't. He just goes straight into everything.
It's wild how, like, for a guy whose whole thing is like, I'm a con man, how little sense he has for being in the thick of, like, a con. Like, this guy gave you a 24-hour free trial.
And you know what he does? He just runs out of time.
He runs out of time. Oh, this is great. He doesn't even
think about it. So, this kicks ass, actually. Well, we're not going to get there quite yet. Because first, he puts Gabriel's horn, which, again, I'm pretty sure can start the apocalypse.
Yeah, it could. It resurrects the dead. That's what it does.
In a crab or a lobster trap, throws it into the water, and it's just like, what the fuck, Charlie? What the fuck?
He is so fucking horned up.
He's like, we did it, we can go. And he's like, nah, I gotta get the kid, I'll get him to perform, yeah.
Give me another 8 hours, dude, because I gotta get it wet, dude. Like, itchy, you don't understand. I've been in heaven however long it took for you to die. Could have been weeks, could have been years.
I don't want to necessarily get into this, right? But there's just no fucking way that there isn't sex in heaven, right?
Right? They have ribs.
In dog heaven?
You don't think they're not gonna have pork? That was a bit of a crude joke, but I'm proud of it. So he gives this kid his dream. He takes him to Diversity Square and is like, here you go, kid. Let's do some fucking magic. And we get a pretty great musical sequence. This kid goes from being on top of the world to being in the gutter. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so fast. It's
devastating. I loved it.
He is destroyed by the end of this. And Charlie's like, why don't we get you home, kid? Like, fuck, man. Killed him.
And then this kid's like, I can't go home because I ran away from home and my stepmom will never love me. And fucking Charlie hits him with, well, I ran away from home. And you know how my parents felt about it? I don't know, because I never saw him again.
Brutal.
Absolutely killer. Fucking excellent. Destroyed this kid's like willingness to deal with this shit anymore.
So perfect. And then he promises to get the kid home. He should know how much time he has left. He should be like, Sasha, get the kid home. And then he should go bring the horn back. Why does he promise to get the kid home? Be like, no, you have a talking dog now, man.
I've done it. I've guardian angeled you. You learned your lesson. You have a Scooby-Doo. Go home, solve some mysteries.
I did my miracle.
Come on.
Be a big brother. Like,
do the dang thing.
But he doesn't. He's like, no, I'll get you home. And then his time runs out.
This is so funny. Because you forget, no, him and Sasha have like a weird musical date night.
Oh, you know what? I didn't forget. I just have it in my notes. This is unearned.
This is so unearned. At one point, the movie does like a 3D jump scare with the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It is during this musical sequence, and it's wild to me. Like, oh, wait, this movie takes place in San Francisco. I don't know why. Oh, I guess because Alcatraz?
Because Alcatraz. Yeah, that's the whole reason.
Has to go to Alcatraz.
I love that this movie takes place in San Francisco. There's no very good reason for it. But
it's a better, hey, it's a better reason than the last movie taking place in Louisiana. I'll tell you what. They go on this magical date night where they're falling in love. They're singing this falling in love song. Again, unearned.
Unearned. She shouldn't even give a shit about him. And all then, he did was torture her kid.
Torture her kid and also harass her, stalk her, assault her.
Yeah. Sucked.
And then right at the end of the song, right before they're about to kiss, he disappears. His time has run out. And again,
perfect.
Amazing.
Meanwhile, Itchy, who has been sleeping with the kid because somebody's got to keep a fucking eye on the kid, also disappears.
So the kid's like, oh my God, Sasha, what happened to Itchy? Where's Charlie? And Sasha's like, they're gone. And then this fucking kid immediately like becomes unfunctional. He can't walk, he can't eat, he can't even breathe. Charlie's not here. But where's Charlie? Hey, kids, where's Itchy, man?
That's so brutal. No one in this movie cares about Itchy. This movie, in the climax, forgets for a bit that Itchy is invisible and can't touch stuff.
That is true. It really does. So Charlie's like, I gotta get more time. I gotta get more time. Goes back to the evil dog, who's actually a cat in disguise, and is like, you gotta give me more time. I need more time. The dog's like, you only get the 24-hour trial for free. You gotta pay up hard cash if you want more time.
So let's talk about something real quick. Charlie is a con man. The con in this is so obvious. This guy knows that Charlie doesn't have any money. And Charlie's like, I do have this one thing. Fuck you, Charlie. I do have this one thing. I have Gabriel's horn. He wants to sell out all of heaven for like an hour longer.
Itchy calls him out for this shit directly, which is so funny because he doesn't even try to like justify it. He's like, but Itchy, I have to take the kid home.
And he's like,
But Itchy, I promised the kid I would take him home.
Is that more important than every soul in heaven?
Well, in dog heaven specifically, I don't think real heaven is affected by this for some reason.
I mean, it's Gabriel's horn, so maybe.
Well, cat Satan doesn't seem to care about
humans.
As much about human heaven as dog heaven does.
One of the things that did consistently bother me is the idea that dog heaven doesn't have any humans in it. You tell me that dogs are happier without humans around?
You're right, exactly. Man's best friend would rather not have man around.
I mean, sure, probably sometimes.
Yeah, but I get on. It. I'm antisocial, I understand. But it feels weird. It's a weird choice.
It's a very weird choice.
Yeah, I guess if hell is other people, dog heaven can't have any.
Here's my other thing. Because we're going to cut back to... He gets the horn. Okay, Red shook on it, made a deal. And he keeps talking about how his deal is like binding.
Yeah, deals with me are final.
You can't break the deal. Charlie does not seem magically inclined to not break the deal.
At first, I thought that Charlie was like being forced to go get the horn and bring it back.
And that would be so radical, right? Like, that's what I thought too. And that he was going to like be running around with red eyes and then he gives him the horn. And he's like, oh God, what I do? But that's not what happens. He just... wants to go get the horn, so he goes get the horn, and then he goes and meets up with David and Sasha. The thing is, like, I don't know why it matters that he made a deal, because apparently it doesn't. Because in order to make sure they get the horn, Carface does kidnap David. Carface is such an efficient kidnapper, by the way.
Man, my guy does, like, a fucking yank and twist so fast.
He's quick, man. And he's like... get to Alcatraz in an hour, Charlie, and just, like, rides away on a train.
Yeah, this is wild that Charlie has only an hour to get to Alcatraz, but okay.
He's late anyway. So, Charlie gets to Alcatraz, and I need to say this again. I know I've said it a few times. He doesn't have a plan. He's just gonna give the horn over to the guy.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a liar, right?
Who lies?
He's a con man. Why isn't he lying? This is his one job.
It's supposed to be his one skill set, and he just like he just wings it for the rest of this. And to be fair, it also feels like the villain is winging it a little bit. Charlie gives Red the horn, takes David, and they run back to the boat. And he's like, "You got to take this kid home. I got to go fix my mess."
Charlie, I need to mention this bit because he does tell Itchy, get David home. I need to fix this. I'll say it again. The man's invisible. Itchy can't do diddly shit. They can't hear him. They can't see him. He can't even touch them.
He ran out of time.
He ran out of time and he didn't make a deal with the fucking devil because he is a good dog. So maybe Itchy should be the one to do this. And he does go back and is kind of the only useful member of the group.
He gets a hero moment, which is bananas because nothing comes of it.
Yeah, it's fucking weird because he gets the hero moment and then it's like, and then Charlie's on the top of the thing blowing the horn. Like, okay, I guess. Anyway, Red blows the horn, sucks all the dogs into Alcatraz, blows it again, and Alcatraz is sinking into the ocean, presumably into hell. Now, here's another thing. He's a cat, and he hates water, which
it's
is
true.
Okay, I guess, is like a weakness for this weird devil guy, except that why did he decide on an island prison?
Yeah, he went to an island prison and then sunk it into the water like it was the fucking end of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And why? Yeah, presumably just go to take them to hell. But one, slow process.
Yeah, it's not fast. They never get to hell, which is probably for the best. But also, like, show me some hell. Why not?
Show me some hell. I got a little taste of hell in the last movie and it kicked ass. It was the best part of that movie. I would like more. This, though, yeah, it should also be pointed out that some cats don't like water. Some cats do like water.
I mean, this movie is not doing a lot to dispel any notions about cats.
No, I can tell you from experience that cats do not sizzle and burn when sprayed with water, when splashed with a little bit of water. They don't fucking start melting like they're the Wicked Witch of the West. You know, they're just a little bit upset. They're like, oh, this sucks.
There's a water tower on top of Alcatraz, which I'm not even sure is true or possible.
they defeat the devil. All the dogs go back to heaven. Carface goes to hell.
Carface, now I need to highlight this. Charlie's like, is everyone all right? David's like, yeah, I'm all right. Sasha's all right. Itchy's all right. Carface is like, I'm okay too. And he like bursts out of a vent. And he's like, it was just business. That guy tricked me. I should have listened to him. And Charlie's like, what did you give him for your collar, Carface? And he says, I think I wanted the bottom of my shoes or something. I don't even wear shoes. And then from the pit of hell that has opened up in the floor, you hear the devil go, I wanted your soul. And he sucks him down. By the way, the devil did get sucked into the ground a la Jafar, and it wasn't super clear why that happened.
No. Oh, something else that we didn't mention is the devil has this cat devil has like these ghost mice that help him. Love that. Good choice.
Very cool. That's like skeletal mice.
Yeah, it looks cool as fuck. There's some Spy versus Spy shit.
Yeah, they did look like the Spy versus Spy characters, but it's not clear why he has those, and they don't do anything that interesting.
Well, other than drag Carface to hell.
Okay, to be fair.
The only reason I brought him up is because they do drag Carface to hell, and it kicks ass. It's really good.
Yeah. I was too distracted by that very good joke.
And then Charlie and Itchy are like, well, we got to go back to heaven now. You two get home safely from Alcatraz.
You know how you couldn't go home from the Chinese restaurant that we stole all this food from? Go home from Alcatraz now.
Yeah, figure it out. You know there's ferries that go to Alcatraz never. Famously a hard place to leave.
They got a rowboat. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's funny when you think about it.
In the calm waters of the Pacific.
Hey, some people left Alcatraz, maybe, if you kind of cross your eyes about it.
Maybe, or they absolutely die. We do not know what happened to them.
But I would say probably they left Alcatraz.
You know, it's a 50-50 shot, I guess. So they're going back to heaven, and Annabelle's like, sorry, Charlie, you're not going to heaven. And at first I was like, oh shit, is the movie about to take a turn?
Okay.
Whoa.
Looks like two dogs go to hell.
Two dogs go to hell.
All dogs go to heaven, two should have been called two dogs go to hell.
That would have been amazing.
They never listen to me about what they should name these.
They really should. It should have been, the third one should have been called Three Dogs Go to Heaven. And she's like, well, you have unfinished business back on Earth, and you get a second chance. You can pick up your merit badge when you get back to heaven in about 20 years.
Second to third chance.
I believe it is possibly fourth.
Yeah. You've had a lot of chances, Chaz.
Yeah, dude. And then Charlie, this piece of shit is like, come on, Itchy, let's go back to Earth.
And Itchy's like, no!
You can eat my tiny ass. How dare you? I got to be in heaven for 15 minutes.
You would not believe the amount of being an angel I'm about to get up to. I am fairly certain it's not as shitty up here as you, a broken person, think it is.
Dude, it's crazy that he's in the third movie. Is it worse to be dragged to hell, or is it worse to be dragged away from
out of heaven? Yeah, I don't know.
It's truly like, who knows? I don't know the answer to this question.
It's she rises body and soul into heaven like the fucking Pentecost. Oh, is that the right one? I don't think it's the right one. Fuck.
I get what you're saying. He gets the best gift. He doesn't have to deal with Charlie's bullshit for 20 years. The goal is to one day not remember this shit anymore.
The descent of the fuck. He rises up bodily into heaven like Mary, Mother of God. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Like the what was that? I literally can't remember. The goal is to forget, Tony. I don't actually want this information in my brain. Hold up. Now I have to think about it.
It's not the consummation
of Mary, is it?
It doesn't matter. It's not that funny a joke. And if we talk about it for too long, I have to keep it in.
So that's the movie. God damn. They can't hear that.
They can't hear it.
Why would you do that?
It was so loud on my screen. I didn't think it would be that loud.
You got on my ass the one time I did that they can't hear it when you do it. Now you have to put it in.
I needed to reset. Charlie goes back and he's like, wow, yeah, now we'll get to live together. I guess those parents just lost their kid and found him again are also adopting two dogs.
Two pretty big fucking dogs.
He's gonna throw a fucking fit if they don't adopt those dogs.
Dude, right? Yeah, could you imagine telling your kid who just got back from running away from home, no, you can't adopt these two dogs. What, are you crazy? Are you fucking high? Like, that kid's fucking halfway to Louisiana if you tell him that shit.
Don't go to Louisiana. There's a bad movie over there.
Bad movie. So here we are at the end of our wonderful journey. What did we learn?
I'm so tired. I burned all my energy on that half-remembered Catholic holiday joke. I swear to God, I everything's gone. This movie was bad, but it was considerably better than the last movie, which is saying something.
It functions as a film, you know? It's got a fucking, like, climax, got a beginning, middle, and end.
This is the second Don Bluth sequel that was not made by Don Bluth, where it's like, oh, this is a markedly better movie.
Yeah, this is a full film.
It's not as, like, beautiful and like...
No.
Interesting in that way, but, like, I can sit through it and be like, oh, that was a movie by the end of it. It was a movie.
There is no point in this movie where I was, like going insane. Because it was so, like, unwatchable. There is a lot of, harassing women.
Yeah.
But to be fair, the last movie had weird vibes. So
the last movie had very weird vibes. And it was, like, so much more racist.
Yeah. This movie is, like, you know, it's got a little bit of it in there. but it wasn't terrible. More diverse. San Francisco apparently does have a lot of people of color, which is great because it does.
That's true. It does. And you know what? It's a low bar, but they clear it. They actually show some people.
That's All Dogs Go to Heaven 2.
Two Dogs Go to Hell.
Two Dogs Go to Hell.
Thank you for listening to Direct to Video.
VHS? HS?
I have been your host, Tony Robusto.
I have been your host, Andy Reyes.
Come find me on Blue Sky and at my website at SpireByTrueRomance.org.
Yeah, 110%. You can find me on co-host.
Not for long, though. I heard. That's sad.
Really?
You didn't hear about this? How did I hear about it?
No, I haven't heard about this.
I guess co-host is going under. Or closing.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I know because I saw a bunch of people talking about how great co-host was. So I was like, well, I wish you told me about it before.
Yeah, it's rough, but you know, it happens. But yeah, I mean, you can also find me on YouTube at Ethical Games Journalism.
How's that going?
We've had a very busy summer because, you know.
It's dog days, man.
But yeah, it's the dog days of summer, man. Well, we got a job, so, you know, our precious time, free time has gotten even smaller. And also had a bunch of like other kind of family stuff that came up, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping we'll be able to actually sit down and record again probably next week, but we have an episode, in ready to go. I just have to like sit down and edit it, but yeah, it's fun. We're excited to get back to it. And that of course is Project Revolution, a project where me and my partner are going to be playing through all of the Wii games, in release order. It's a lot of fun. They're like an hour episodes. So, you know, go check that out. If it's to your liking, there's a lot of cool stuff on there.
Yeah, it's fun. I've watched some terrible games. I'm sure some of them are good.
There are classics coming up. It's just, you know, there's a lot of other stuff too. You know, we forget that the Wii was like also the invention of the middleware.
You can find more of the podcast at direct2.video.
That's right. And also on YouTube.
And you can rate us in your favorite podcatcher. And thank you to Scott Buckley for Homeward,
which is
our intro and outro.
A huge thank you. Join us next time for Haunted Mansion 2003.
It's going to be... Can't think of a ghost pun.
Well, it's going to be... Wait. Reader, beware. You're in for a scare. Wait, shit. Listener, beware.
We could have done Goosebumps if that's what you wanted.
Wait, okay, well, hold on a minute. Wait. Aren't there... There's two of those movies, right?
I believe so.
Ah, shit. Fuck. Wait, hold on. Should we do Goosebumps?
Should we do Goosebumps? I mean, I would definitely...
I've never seen them.
They're probably fine. I've heard the first one's good, at least.
Yeah, I've heard nothing about the second one. I didn't know there was a second one. Yeah, let's fucking... Why not?
Why not?
Let's do Goosebumps. Why not? All right, Haunted Mansion. Maybe next year.
The music is 100% playing, like, trying to get us out of here, just so you know.
It's desperately trying. You know, Scott Buckley's doing his job. That doesn't mean I'm going to let him get away with it. Right? Like, come on. Wow, these movies are actually pretty old. So yeah, let's do it. Let's watch Goosebumps. Listener, beware. You're in for a scare.
I am the ghost of John Smith.
Oh, I don't know if you saw what I paired with Great Mouse Detective, which does say 2023, even though that is not when that came out.
Yeah, I did. Robin Hood. I think that's a fair pairing, because my problem with Great Mouse Detective is always that, like, oh, they did other mouse movies. What's that? They did two of the same mouse movie? So those ones would be paired?
Yeah. Yes, which at some point we should.
I mean, if we want, we could add Rescuers and Rescuers Down Under to this. Yeah. I believe as a kid I only watched Rescuers Down Under.
That's really funny because I've only ever seen the original Rescuers.
That's what we had the tape of, you know? That's how it works.
Yeah. I mean, I had a VHS of The Lion King 2 and my cousins had The Lion King 1. So it was a real bait and switch whenever we wanted to watch the other one. And then a separate group of cousins had 1.5. It was truly really spread out. Our family did everything in their power to make sure nobody had too much Lion King.
If you put all three of them together, they make the Triforce.
Yeah, I thought you summoned Beetlejuice.
Yeah.